I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to the First Team. I'm Joe DeLeon. With me is my co-host, NFL Draft Analyst Ryan Roberts, and we're doing another Scouting Report episode. We're almost coming around and finishing these up before we share our rankings for the 2025 NFL Draft. Today, we're talking two talented cornerbacks, that being Will Johnson from Michigan, and we're going to be doing Benjamin Morrison, or Ben Morrison, however you want to call him. The long name thing is always weird. I never know what name to call a kid, but Ben Morrison from Notre Dame is who we're going to be talking about. Ryan, let's start off with Will Johnson, who seems like a pretty easy pick to be the top corner in this class, and how high he's going to rank amongst some of these other names at every other position will be revealed at some point. But background on him, this kid is freaky. 6'2", 202, massive, massive frame. You usually don't see corners that big with that kind of weight. Any other info you can give our listeners on Will Johnson?
Well, it's no shock to people that follow recruiting or are Michigan historians to know that Will Johnson was destined to end up as a Wolverine because his father, Dion, was also a cornerback for the University of Michigan in the 1990s. So he was a Michigan legacy, and he ended up obviously at the University of Michigan. Grosse Pointe South High School in the state of Michigan as well, is where he played his high school football. Was ranked as on the 247 composite ranking as number 15 overall player. And for people that don't understand the composite, it takes in all the major recruiting platforms together and kind of averages out some type of, it's not a one for one, but it's a little bit of an algorithm there. Number 15th overall player in the 2022 recruiting class and a 5-star. He was rated as high, Joe, by Rivals as the number 5 overall player in his class. Overall, the number 5 corner.
Makes sense.
Number 5 overall player. It does. And if you actually watch his high school highlights, I don't think you have. If you have, please correct me. But Will Johnson was actually a dynamic wide receiver in high school as well. He legitimately could have played wide receiver on the major college level.
Looks
his
like
last
it.
Year. Yeah, his last year in high school had over 1,300 all-purpose yards offensively, had over 600 receiving yards, rushing yards, and he also returned kicks and punts in high school as well. So we're talking about an all-around athlete who was a freshman All-American, All-Big Ten, All-American this past year. He has certainly done a lot of great things for the Wolverines the first 2 years of his career.
Johnson might be one of the easiest corner prospects to describe because, you know, we're talking about the athleticism here. It's rare. 6'2" guys are not supposed to be able to move the way that he can, no less at 205 pounds, whatever he's going to be listed at coming into the season. For context, Nate Wiggins was like 180 or less, and he was 6'2", and he moved really, really easily. I think that Will Johnson's in that same category where very good hip fluidity, very good burst, acceleration, close down speed. I don't think he's going to be a 4.29 guy, but he is still going to probably run a very good 40 time at the NFL Combine for his size. He's probably going to jump really well. All that stuff is going to hit. But here's the one thing, Ryan, because we could just sit here and check all the boxes, like 6'2", runs fast, changes direction quickly, hips open up well. Like we could sit here and check all those boxes. But the instincts, I was dumbfounded. Like, I don't know. I think this might be the most natural decision maker at corner that I have ever seen of corners that I've watched. And I haven't been watching prospects for that long. This is my third cycle of doing guys. There are some plays where the ball, before it even comes out, he reads the play and he's there. Like, you can see the quarterback starting to release the ball and he's there. Ohio State, he had a pick where he did this, where he picked off Marvin Harrison Jr., where he jumps the route before the ball comes out of McCord's hand, forces him to throw the ball into tight coverage, leading to the interception. And then it also happened in the national championship game, which I tweeted both these clips, where he read a route on the sideline. Michael Penix tries to throw in that direction, and he comes down like a bat out of hell and grabs that ball and kind of falls back onto his butt. I don't know if he came down with it or not.
I think it was just a pass breakup. I don't think he came down.
Still though.
Yes. Incredible. It's special. Joe, I mean, we always joke about the, you know, coach's kid thing and like the lineage thing, but it matters. It 100% matters. And Will Johnson instinctively plays like a football player whose dad was a major college defensive back as well. Like, it makes obviously complete sense just talking about a kid that's probably been around the game and has been playing defensive back and has seen a lot of football on the defensive side of the ball in his lifetime, right? Because that's all that comes down to is, like, yeah, right. Some people have natural-ish instincts, but more than anything, it's about repetition and seeing it, right? The more you see, the more reps you have, that's usually where the instinctual nature comes in at. But when we're talking about just physical profiles, this kid has special rare upside at the position because – at 6'2", I think he's like listed at about 202, 205 pounds, somewhere in that ballpark. He is a very good straight line athlete. So what would your assumption be? Your assumption would be he's a bigger corner. He's probably good at press man, and then he can run. So obviously any type of, well, press man, obviously being able to turn and run in an island, but also playing some cover three scheme where he's, you know, just working vertically and not allowing guys to get over top of him. Those things are what you would expect Will Johnson to be good at, and he is good at those things.
Yeah.
But the difference between being very good prospect to being a great prospect and being a potentially elite prospect, which I think Will Johnson is the change of direction for being a guy that's 6'2". It's different, man. That is absolutely different. I think this is a young man that with the change of direction, the length and the physicality he has, this is a kid that can it. I always talk about diversity, right? When I'm higher on a player, it's because they can do more at a higher level. And I look at Will Johnson with the change of direction he has on top of the physical profile, the size, and I say there's not a coverage that this kid can't run. I mean, this is a high-level, versatile pass coverage player on the next level who can do a little bit of everything. So it is all there physically, mentally, and athletically for this player to be a top, I mean, top 10 pick for sure, but like, I wouldn't be surprised if in April we're talking about this kid being the first defensive player off the board. Like, I don't think that's unreasonable to think because he is a potentially rare cornerback on the next level.
I think what's going to get really muddled with this draft cycle, or not muddled, it's going to be a really tough debate on who is going to be the first defensive player taken, because positional value is really going to come into play with a lot of these guys. And a little bit of a spoiler, like Mykel Williams is a really good example where we might have him as a top two guy, top three guy in the class, and he might not go until pick 11. Just like we saw with Brock Bowers, I think most normal people with relatively apt intelligence thought he was a top three player in this year's class, and he goes outside of the top 10 because of positional value. But to talk about Will Johnson, I think if there is someone to go as high as Denzel Ward did a couple of years ago, to go in the top four, to go in the top three, it's definitely him. Denzel Ward wasn't as big and as physical and as instinctual as Will Johnson was. That was almost some considered not a reach, but was a little surprising he went that early and was expected to go in the top 10, but went a little bit earlier than we thought. I think Will Johnson's good enough for that to happen. I currently have him, I believe he's graded as my number one rated player. He is pretty clearly for me just for, oh no, he's not my number one. He's my number two rated player, but still he's going to fit in this in the, yeah, James Pierce is number one. He's going to fit in this special category where just all the boxes are checked. He feels so right. I don't see a way that somebody unseats him. I just don't.
Well, so there is obviously right now I am about 80 players deep on the summer eval process right now. And I will tell
only
you
80. I'm at 200. What the hell's wrong with you?
Shut your mouth, dude. We already talked about this yesterday. Will Johnson is a second rated player in this class for me. And actually I have him above someone that we just mentioned a second ago, which I know is going to be a slight hot take here. And we'll talk about that obviously during the end of summer when we're talking about big board centric stuff. But I just look, man, I think that for me, I always am trying to check boxes and I'm trying to find guys that are easy evaluations early on in this process, because typically guys that are easy evals in the summer stay easy evals. There's rarely ever guys that you just look at and say, like, I just don't think that guy's missing much.
And don't let the general public change your opinion on that, folks. Don't let anyone do the Marvin Harrison Jr., the Brock Bowers thing. If you hear the nitpicking, just say, nope, we're not doing this.
Well, And because those guys typically are not volatile players. Their floor and their ceiling are both high in that regard, right? So typically those guys aren't volatile during the season. We'll be talking about a bunch of players this summer that are volatile prospects. They could either be day three kids or maybe their first round picks at the end of the day because they have that athletic upside. But the peaks and valleys of how good they are and what you see consistently on film are just too spread apart right now. Will Johnson is one of the rare players that he's going to be a top-ranked player in this class in the summer, and I would be shocked if he wasn't when the draft comes around in April because the floor and the ceiling are both just so high. I mean, at worst, we're talking about a starting caliber cornerback on the next level who's probably plus. On the high end, this is probably an all-pro. I mean, that is the kind of what I'm looking at with a Will Johnson. So, yes, he is a player that you should not overthink too much. He's 6'2 plus. He's long. He's physical. He's athletic. He's played a lot of football. He has a lineage, obviously, in the bloodlines of being having a father that played major college football at Michigan as well. So when we're talking about bloodlines, athleticism, physicality, he does check all the boxes, man. So I think this kid is a top 10 player easily in this class. Like I said, I have him as a top, the number two overall player in this class, and I would be shocked because there's several player, high-end players I still have to get to, but I would be surprised if he wasn't a top five player for me this summer.
Yeah, there's definitely no not a lot of offensive players that are going to unseat him. I also don't think that there's very many corners. Like, we're not going to have a Malik Nabers situation. I just don't think it's very likely that that's going to happen. BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, where the game starts. And one guy who's going to be right on his tail, though, that is likely going to be a first-round pick, Ben Morrison from Notre Dame, 6 foot, 185. He burst onto the scene as a freshman, had a number of highly productive games. I believe that like that Boston College game was the welcome to college football moment for Ben Morrison. He's really interesting to watch because like when you watch him in games and then when you watch him on film, he almost feels like two different players. In a way where like I like you really started to see like where the ceiling is, where he definitely needs to improve. But he is absolute somebody who is high motor, high energy, and fun to watch. We'll kind of talk traits in a second, but background on him. This one should be easy for you, Mr. Notre Dame. What do we got here on Ben Morrison?
Chill on that, man. You know what's funny, Joe, is kind of the backstory as far as when Benjamin Morrison burst onto the field. I actually think it was the Ohio State game, the first game of the year, because I'll go into the background of like his ascension.
No one talked about him after that. No one brought him up.
It was really weird because he didn't start that game, but he was inserted in, and he's had back-to-back really good games against Marvin Harrison in 2022 and 2023. He's been one of the best corners as far as being able to limit Marvin Harrison the last couple years, because Marvin Harrison's breakout in 2022 didn't really happen during that Notre Dame game. I think he only had like five catches for like 50 something yards in that game. It was after that that Marvin Harrison Jr. really became Marvin Harrison Jr., which is kind of an interesting note. But this is a really fascinating one because Benjamin Morrison had a great offer list. He actually chose Notre Dame over Alabama, just kind of for some little bit of a backstory there. So he had some legitimate offers, but he wasn't ranked high. This is a fun one of what matters more, offer list or star ranking. For me, it's always the offer list, right?
If usually the ranking services fall victim to being like, whoa, an Alabama offer, we had to bump him up a little bit. But
they didn't do that. They didn't do that. He was ranked on the On3 industry ranking because, again, this takes into account all the four major platforms, On3, ESPN, Rivals, 247 Sports, all entrenched into this ranking. He was ranked as a four-star, but he was ranked as number 342 player, number 37 corner in his class, man. So he was a borderline top 400 player in his class, according to the On3 industry ranking. And there was a platform, On3 actually, funny enough, ranked him as a three-star player coming out of Brophy Prep in the state of Arizona. So originally he was from Washington ended his high school career in the state of Arizona at Brophy Prep. Came to Notre Dame, obviously, chose him over Alabama. Just very interesting, though, because he was actually, Joe, the reason that he wasn't starting game one against Ohio State his freshman year was because he wasn't an early enrollee. He didn't get to Notre Dame until his summer, but was to that summer before, but he was so good that he was in the two deep to begin the year. And then after that Ohio State game, it was pretty much, you're the starter, dude. Like, you just are. So he ends up leading the team in interceptions that year. I think he had like six interceptions as a freshman, if I remember correctly, was a freshman All-American. This past year, his interception number went down. I think he only had like two interceptions this past year.
Because they
like
stopped throwing at him.
Exactly. They stopped throwing at him. And then lo and behold, Xavier Watts, the safety, which we'll talk about this season, had like seven interceptions because they were like, you know, I'm not going to throw it that kid Cam Hart or that kid Benjamin Morrison anymore. I'm going to try to attack the middle of the field. And it ended up that Xavier Watts is a pretty good player himself. So he was the benefactor of not wanting to throw at number 20. So this is a really fascinating player, though, because again, not highly ranked, highly recruited, but not highly ranked, ends up freshman All-American, was very good again this past year. He has been dealing, just kind of a quick note before we get into strengths and weaknesses and all that conversation, he's been dealing with a shoulder injury that limited him in the spring.
Right, another Notre Dame player dealing with an injury in the preseason. Great. That's great. I love to hear that. That's wonderful.
He's expected back to begin the year, but there has not been a cemented timeline for a return for Benjamin Morrison. So
sounds again, like Riley
expecting
Leonard.
Him back for game one against Texas A&M. I expect him to be back sometime this late summer, if not early in the fall, but he is a player that is dealing with a shoulder injury.
Who's going to start opposite of him? Who's supposed to start opposite of him this year?
Christian Gray, who's a sophomore, who they're expecting to be a dynamic dude, was a former top 100 recruits out of DeSmet Jesuit in the 2023 class. So they expect him to be very good. And then Jaden Mickey, who's a third year player, is going to be playing a lot as well. So
to get back to Morrison, though, listed at 185, looks kind of leaner than that. I think that the weight is something that certainly stands out when you watch him, where he definitely needs to get like a little bit thicker. Because he struggles at times in contested situations. He struggles at times as a tackler, like really struggles. There was one play where I forget who it was. It might have been Marvin Harrison Jr. or somebody who caught a ball and stiff-armed him into another dimension. And I was like, oh my God, I have to write down that this is a problem. But
that happened a couple times to him last year. It did happen a couple times, yeah.
That's usually the indicator of, hey, we need to start eating a couple PB&Js before we go to bed. And look, hey, I was not a corner, but same thing happened to me my freshman year, man, and sophomore year. I got my ass kicked a couple plays and I put on way too much weight, but I at least wasn't getting my ass kicked anymore. Besides the point. Athleticism, very fluid. The way that I kind of broke him down and I wrote notes on him is that he's one of those guys that always just gets in the back pocket of a receiver. So wherever he's going, he's able to just match his movement. His hips don't really lose much speed and he just tracks and follows. Pretty instinctual too, not at the Will Johnson level, but he's a pretty good decision maker. But the way that he is able to get around, to keep everybody in front of him and to keep everybody within range, I think is what has made him such a lockdown corner. He can really, I think, take a huge step forward if the play strength improves, because he's sticky coverage, but then there's times where, and it happened against Ohio State, there's one play in particular where Marvin Harrison Jr. catches a really badass jump ball over him and it's a really great play. And then there's other times where there's flags thrown because he's trying to win in these contested spots and it leads to him getting pass interference calls. Right. That could be eliminated if he just gets a little bit stronger, and he could go from us talking about him as a first rounder to a top 15 pick if he can improve on that stuff.
Is this fair to say, Joe? I think when we're just talking about coverage ability, the knack for changing direction, for being able to match coverage and to be able to stay in stride, to be a sticky coverage player and to have ball skills, I think he's about as good as just about anybody in this class. I mean, he really is. He has the natural skill set to be able to be a really good off man or even press at times corner that can follow a wide receiver across the field. Like, I think that he has that upside to him. The problem is, and it is a big, it's a major deal. I mean, we could sit here and pretend like, oh, tackling doesn't matter, but like play strength does matter at the cornerback position. We can scoff at it all we want, especially for a guy that his first 2 years, Cam Hart, who is a bigger, more physical player compared to Benjamin Morrison. They actually played Cam Hart to the field because they play field boundary, right? So They would play him to the field. They would play Benjamin Morrison into the boundary. The problem with Benjamin Morrison into the boundary, well, the positive Benjamin Morrison in the boundary is that he can match anybody stride for stride athletically. Like he can stay glued to guys and he's a really good coverage player. The problem into the boundary is that's where a lot of runs happen, a lot of cutbacks happen. Where you're going to be involved in the run game a lot. And look, one, the run game is very poor right now, in my opinion. I think it's well below average, which is something that you need to see get remedied. Because again, if he is not the greatest run defender of all time, is it the end of the world? No, but there is still a requisite level where you have to be good enough in this area in order to be a plus starter on the NFL level, right? So there needs to be an improvement in the run game. But I think that the major concern that I have is that the play strength, I think, does translate not only in the run game, but in the pass game at times. There are times where he gets out leveraged. There are times where he's always competitive at the catch point, but can you continuously disrupt the catch point? That is my major concern with Benjamin Morrison. Needs to be physical, needs to improve the play strength. And it is, I'll be honest, it is a little bit troubling that he's dealing with a shoulder injury now. That's a little bit troubling for me for a guy that
he's not benching right now. Probably he's not shoulder pressing. He hasn't probably been really hitting during spring ball. Like those are all the things he needs to improve on. And it's like a quarterback having a shoulder injury or like having a wrist injury. That stuff is going to really disrupt the development that we need here.
You know what it's like, Joe? I would parlay it to this. So we're talking about a guy that would want to be more physical and a better tackler, right, in a vacuum. And the thing that he needs most, his shoulders, is something that he isn't able to utilize right now. It's the same thing as if I set a corner, I wanted him to be a little bit better, change direction in space, and he has recurring issues with ankle injuries where he's just not able to cut and be able to explode off of his step, right? Like those things are incredibly troubling. So the things that I want to see Benjamin Morrison improve most might be hindered a little bit this offseason with that improvement. So you can improve mental reps. The game can continue to slow down, which will help tackling and will help the ability to utilize your play strength. But I am a little bit worried that offseason that was hindered, that was segmented due to that injury, is going to hurt the progress that I wanted to see in those regards.
Yeah, his projection's a little tricky because for what we're talking about here, if we only graded and gave a round grade on him for just the coverage player, he's a top 15 pick. But because of how bad he is in the run game and how much of a problem that is, and the play strength does translate to certain situations, and now what we're talking about on his availability, that's what bumps him down to me for like a late first, early second at this current moment.
Yeah. So I have, again, this is in a vacuum. This is just a raw film grade. There's no positional value that's pushed into this. I have him as about as early of a second round pick as you could possibly have. So I have him an early two, which again, right now, Joe, I would say this, right? Again, there's a lot of guys to go through, but Benjamin Morrison with a early second round grade for me is rated as my 13th overall player in this class. So he's probably a first round pick right now is kind of what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
But if we're talking about raw grades, I think this is more of a borderline first round, early second round grade, which was what I gave him. He could be much better. There's no doubt about it. But the fact that we're talking about play strength, the fact that we're talking about physicality, and them also coming off of a shoulder injury, that's where this does become a little bit of a murky evaluation. So if he's able to come back healthy, just able to add a little bit of play strength, I think this kid's a bona fide first round player. It's just that there is stuff to monitor early in the season. Like if Will Johnson didn't play a single down this year for Michigan, right? For whatever reason, he opted out like the 2020 COVID year. Was like, I don't feel like playing this year. He's a first round pick. He's a top 15 pick. He's a top 10 pick probably. Benjamin Morrison isn't that right now. I think that he's going to be in most first round mock drafts, but I do think there is some legitimate improvement that he needs to show in 2024 to cement himself as a first round pick.
At Joe DeLeon, at Rise and Draft. Folks, thanks for tuning in. Hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, drop a comment, and we will talk to you later.